Welcome to the Sleep as a Skill podcast. My name is Molly McLaughlin, and I own a company that optimizes sleep through technology, accountability, and behavioral change. Each week, I'll be interviewing world-class experts ranging from doctors, innovators, and thought leaders to give actionable tips and strategies that you can implement to become a more skillful sleeper. Let's jump into your dose of practical sleep training. Welcome to the Sleep as a Skill podcast. My guest today is Karen Brody. She is the creator of Daring to Rest, which is a program as well as a book. She has a real cornerstone hold in this realm of yoga nidra, this sleepy time yoga, I've often referred to it as. And you may have heard of many, many people making a lot of claims around yoga nidra, that certain amount of yoga nidra equals certain amount of deep rest and deep sleep. And so Karen's going to help us understand what to believe, you know, what's grounded in kind of fact and what isn't, and help to, if you do have that curiosity around yoga nidra, struggling with your sleep, or looking to find ways to calm the nervous system throughout the course of the day, and then to, of course, impact your restedness into the evening and your ability to get deep sleep in the evening, then this is the podcast for you. A little bit about Karen. Karen Brody has taught the art of deep rest to thousands of women around the world and trained women to teach others in the art of rest, primarily through a life-changing and life-saving yogic sleep tool, yoga nidra meditation. She has taught at the Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health, 1440 Multi-University, and many locations around the world. Karen is the author of the only book for women on yoga nidra, called Daring to Rest, Reclaim Your Power, and Yoga Nidra Rest Meditation. And really, ultimately, Karen is on a mission to help women rise up rested, tell a new rest story, and ultimately to create a well-rested world. Now, let's jump in. Now, before we get into the podcast, I do want to take a quick minute to give a shout out to our sponsor, BetterHelp, or as I like to call it, a therapist in your pocket. It's the exact app that I used when I was going through my really challenging period of insomnia while traveling overseas. And the ability to maintain a consistent therapist in real life was just really not an option for me since we were jumping around from country to country. So the ability to, with using my phone, have video calls weekly with my therapist, I was paired with I connected with a great therapist right off the bat, but I do know other people who have been able to kind of shop around with some of the therapists on that app until they find a great fit for them. And in between those calls, one of the things that I found was really helpful is that you can also send voice notes, text messages, images in between that, you know, longer weekly video call so that you do have this really very real ongoing connection and support that I certainly, at least in my experience, hadn't felt with real life therapist that I had used in the past. And also the pricing structure is much more competitive than a lot of the real life therapists that you can come into contact with. So I found it to be a lot of benefits. I recommend it to a lot of people that are just kind of going through struggles in their life or just simply want to be able to up level and bring in that level of reflection and awareness into their life about what's both working and not working. And you can certainly cancel at any time. And for our sleepy community, the BetterHelp company has hooked us up with 10% off if you go to betterhelp.com/sleepisaskill. Again, betterhelp.com/sleepisaskill. And welcome to the Sleep is a Skill podcast. I am so grateful, Karen, that you are able to take the time to step in and share more with us about yoga nidra and how that can connect with sleep and this idea of optimizing our skill set around sleep.
Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, so awesome. Well, I know there's a lot to cover with all that you've created in this area. So I think it could be great to start at the beginning of how is it that you really created this whole community around the practice of being able to calm the mind, get that great restorative rest? How did that come to be?
Well, I really discovered yoga nidra by accident. I was an exhausted mother with two kids in preschool. I probably hadn't slept well since my first son was born, and now they were about 4 and 3. So my first son, literally from after he was about 10 days old, he screamed for the first year of his life. I mean, just nonstop. And it wasn't colic and it wasn't this and it wasn't that. But suddenly it was like, I was so sleep deprived. I was going over curbs. I was so tired. You know, as I would turn the car, I would go through stop signs, not even seeing it was a stop sign. And then I was really just curious about taking a yoga class to get back into shape after my postpartum period with my kids. I thought it's time to get back into shape. And when I got into the yoga studio, I literally heard someone guiding people in meditation. I thought it was the end of a yoga class, but when I looked in the room, there were 25 women with eye pillows and blankets, looking so cozy, like they were taking the best nap of their lives. And I was like, I want what they got. I don't know what it is, but that looks like the deepest sleep imaginable and supreme relaxation, which is exactly what yoga nidra is. And I didn't know how much I needed it until I laid down and experienced the power of nidra. And as a mom who was so tired, I couldn't believe how much I began to sleep better. And I had had extreme anxiety to the point where I was on anti-anxiety medication. And I just had never, I would never have believed that something like that looked like a nap would be so powerful. And I wanted to really have every person on the planet experience this deep, supreme relaxation, because I believe very strongly that when we lie down, we wake up. So this thread for me, it was, yes, about rest. It was about how incredible it was to finally be sleeping well and to have energy, but it was also a deeper piece of having more presence in the world, in my family, for myself, and also in the world and what was going on in the world. And it really, like, I literally felt like I was a human again. I could focus again, and all of these pieces that when we're sleep deprived, we just are completely, well, there's so many layers to when you don't have sleep. And for me, it became a way of checking out of the world. I was so checked out. And even when I would take a quick nap, which I wasn't really a good napper, but I would like close my eyes for a minute because I was so exhausted, I just would check out. And yoga nidra is about checking in. And that changed everything.
Wow, what a powerful story. I love that. And it's so relatable. I certainly, on a visceral level, can relate to that experience of empowerment that can come from that story. Honestly, that's very similar to what had happened for me around sleep, where I, when it was at my lowest with just not sleeping and was really honestly desperate, I went to the doctors and they had given me like their version of Ambien, and just like that push and pull relationship to not wanting to take something like that, but then feeling like there isn't, or at least I'm extrapolating, certainly that was my experience and sounds like aligns with yours, of that there must be a better way. And to have that insight, and what a gift to now be able to practice regularly and share that with so many other people and help create optionality around new paths to take to heal that relationship around, you know, fear-based, anxiety-based, you know, all of that can be really, really a big deal. So that's incredible. So you took that path, and now I was hoping you could help share with, so for people that maybe this is a newer conversation or they maybe have heard a little bit about yoga nidra, could you help, you know, kind of 101, what is this practice? What makes it distinct from any other, you know, kind of yoga practice? And why are we speaking about that in regards to such profound differences in our kind of mental and physiological health?
Yeah, well, yoga nidra, you know, even though it has the word yoga in it, actually, it's the sleep of the yogi. Yes. So it's really a restorative practice. It's a practice of taking the mind from the waking state, the beta brain, into dreaming, into deep sleep, and then to a fourth state of consciousness that is supremely relaxing, that is impossible to get with conventional sleep. So you're guided into these states. And it is, looks like Shavasana, I guess. If anyone has experienced yoga, that's the corpse pose. You're lying down, but you practice in your bed. You can practice on the couch. You can practice. I practiced in my minivan for years when my son was at soccer practice.
Yes.
I would literally drop him off park the car, put the seat back, and put in my earbuds and go into the state of nidra, because there's, I don't want to say research, but there is several experts on yoga nidra have said that 45 minutes of yoga nidra feels like 3 hours of sleep in your body. And that doesn't mean that yoga nidra replaces sleep, but if you can just imagine how much fuel, how much octane that gives to people who are not sleeping, just if they did yoga nidra during the day, or if they used it to get to sleep or to get back to sleep at night, the benefits are enormous. And, you know, for some people, it's like a sleeping pill. I mean, it literally, because it takes you into deep sleep brainwaves, it will take you to sleep. But for other people, it's, you know, everything related to not sleeping well, like depression happens when you're not sleeping well, anxiety, all of these things, it regulates the nervous system. So the parasympathetic branch of the nervous system, when we're going and doing, it's like, it's starved. It's, you know, the nervous system is not balanced and we're in sympathetic dominance, and that's the going and the doing. Yoga nidra invites us into the not doing, into the do nothing place. It's the art of doing nothing, and we haven't been taught that in our culture. So when you go to sleep, you actually have to leave your day behind. You have to learn how to do nothing and go into that state and trust that state of sleep, because sleep is the unknown, which is, you know, the moment we close our eyes, we're in the dark, and we've demonized the dark for ages. And this idea of closing your eyes and trusting that, yoga nidra is like a midwife. It so gently guides you into the state of sleep that you can then reside there and trust the unknown, trust that space. And if you are someone who is waking in the middle of the night, you can bring your midwife into the bed with you and nidra will take you into sleep. So it's really an amazing practical tool, but it's also a revolutionary tool, because we are in a culture that tells us to do more, to keep going, to, you know, rush around all the time. Yoga nidra invites us into the opposite paradigm so that we can come back into our lives and we have perspective. We have more focus. We are able to really know what matters and what doesn't matter. All of these are benefits of yoga nidra.
Wow. That really resonates over here, this art of doing nothing, as someone that, you know, identifies as more of a very active mind or kind of obsessive personality often, you know, even right down to this understanding around sleep, the ability to train that way of relaxing or just the art of doing nothing, so well said, is so paramount and so important for us to train in order to get that those levels of deep sleep both at night and then also tapping into what you're speaking to of training ourselves throughout the day for that parasympathetic response can be so life-changing. So really, really great.
We've gone through a lot of, I mean, in our world right now, you know, there's a lot of doing, going, being, and we forget, we think that sleep should just come naturally. And if it doesn't, there's something wrong. When actually, there's a lot of reasons to not sleep. Like there's a lot of reasons to not sleep. So yoga nidra is like the teacher or the midwife, you know, that will take you to that space, because we need training. We forget that we actually do need to be trained to surrender, because sleep is a contract we make with, oh, if I surrender tonight, I will actually be okay. And I'll wake up the next day and I'll be able to, you know, do the doing piece, because we are not all just lying down all day, right? Like we are doing.
Right. Exactly. No, that's so well said too, because some of our framework here is to look at a sleep tripod and essentially our psychology, physiology, and environment and what that can all do to impact our sleep quality. And I feel like what you're speaking to is so helpful to really impacting two major parts of that tripod, of both our psychology and that ability to surrender, to let go, and then impacting, of course, in tandem, the physiology aspect of things, of training ourselves to breathe differently and step into that outside of that fight or flight and into that rest and digest. So really, really powerful stuff. So I was hoping that you could help. I love that you had the asterisk that while this can be a really distinct place to stand as far as accessing deeper brain states than we might be able to on our own, at the same time, it doesn't necessarily replace sleep, but can be such a wonderful complement to sleep. So I was wondering if you could walk us through what a typical session could look like for people. And I know you painted it so well, that, you know, you'd be doing it when you could squeeze it in, you know, with your kids' soccer practice or what have you. And all of this, it really helps us to understand that it doesn't have to look a particular way. It doesn't only mean beautiful environment with, you know, the blankets, and it can really fit into your life. So what are some of the different ways that it can look and times that it can take?
Well, yoga nidra typically takes about 15 minutes minimum to get into the state of nidra, and often more like 20 to 25. And then usually it's not more than 45 minutes to 50 minutes of time. So that's typically how long yoga nidra is. And as I said, you can do it anywhere, really anywhere. But ideally, you want to be in a place that's as quiet as possible. So some people choose their beds, although I would caution people who are truly have insomnia that they maybe not use their bed unless they're planning to go to sleep with the yoga nidra. So if you're in the middle of the day and you're just practicing it, then I would do it more if you have even a spare room and there's a bed there, but not in your own bed. It could be on the couch. It could be even sitting. Absolutely, you can sit. I mean, if you're on an airplane, practice yoga nidra. You won't have the jet lag that you will normally have, especially if you're on a long flight. It's amazing. So you can do it sitting down. You can do it standing even. I have women who go for a walk and practice nidra. Although, you know, going into the state of Turiya, if you're going slowly, I think it would be possible. But people do it while they're moving. Some people find they actually can go to their inner space, because that's sleep, right? You're going into your inner world. You're leaving the outer world. You're going into the inner world. And so yoga nidra takes you there. It's the midwife that takes you there. But there is definitely some people access it better walking, actually. And you can maybe walk for the first 5 minutes and then you can go lay in your bed. Huh. Because also one of the things that I think when we go to sleep, that, you know, what happens? It's our mind that's full. Usually that's what's keeping us up. Even if we're not conscious of that, often that's what's keeping us up. So for some people, movement actually will move the energy, will move the chi, will help the mind empty. And then you do that for 5 minutes and crawl into bed and go off into nidra land. So some people need a little bit of movement. And sometimes it could even just be before you start the nidra, do a little yoga or do a little, just walk around the block. I mean, it doesn't have to be a yoga session, right? Like walk. Some kind of move, shake your body, shake your hands, shake your legs, because that helps energy move and that helps us get out of our minds. And then we can settle into this art of doing nothing. And in yoga nidra, we typically begin with body sensing. So that's like rotating attention throughout the body. Then we go into breath sensing, like breath work, conscious breath work. And that takes us beyond the ego mind. The ego mind falls back. If you're going to fall asleep, your ego has to literally get out of the way. And so ego mind falls back. You literally are now able, your mind is able to feel more free, more liberated. And by that, sometimes we'll pair opposites, meaning we'll ask people to feel hot and then feel cold, and then feel both. And then we go into more of being the witness, and that's the wisdom body, where we invite people to be more the observer of their lives. Because guess what? When if you're trying to go to sleep, the moment you can get out of the, you know, usually we're going through scenarios of what happened in the day in our minds, right? The moment you can become more of the witness of those, so you can witness your body, can literally witness that, you can begin to fall into a deeper and deeper state of sleep. And then we usually go, sometimes we'll do visualization to do that. And basically we take people to what's called the bliss body. And the bliss body is this sense in the body that everything's going to be okay. And you're just resting in awareness. Really, meditation, I think there's a misconception about meditation, because yoga nidra is a sleep-based meditation practice. There's a misconception that you meditate to fall asleep. You meditate so you won't feel bad or to be happy, but or not to suffer. But suffering is normal. Not sleeping some nights is normal, actually. And so when you have a practice like meditation, it's more about a practice that's helping you become present with everything just as it is. And so even if you have a bad night of sleep, your whole system doesn't freak out. You can be present to, okay, that was a not so good night of sleep. And with the presence, usually whatever you give attention to, it softens. So your relationship with sleep softens, your relationship to pain, your relationship to suffering in general, because yoga nidra or nothing, not a pill, nothing is going to stop life from falling apart. Like there's going to be times where that happens. It's more about building this resilience inside of us. And that's what yoga nidra helps, so that we can weather these storms and we can actually begin to learn the art of presence, being present, because presence is indestructible. And there's a place inside all of us that if we shine awareness to presence that always exists in us, we are feel more solid in these storms. And sleep, I mean, you know, it's all connected, right? If you feel solid in a storm, more solid, more and more, you know, there's no perfection here. But I have seen again and again this help women sleep. In fact, the number of times we do 40-day Daring to Rest programs, women say within sometimes 10 days, sometimes it's 30 days, I'm off my sleep medication. I don't need to, I'm sleeping, all of these things. I don't have a magic wand. I don't have a whatever, but yoga nidra, the moment you get quiet, the moment you teach your body the art of doing nothing, it responds and it trusts sleep. We have to trust sleep again. We have to have this relationship with sleep where we trust her. It's a marriage. It's a marriage. And if we hate on sleep, sleep will hate us back.
Wow. So you just dropped so many wisdom bombs in there. That was fantastic. And one of the things that also stuck out to me was how you could almost step into this state of, you know, bliss while you're being able to connect and make this ability to access great levels of sleep. And one of the things that just seems so timely right now on this ability to weather that storm seems really pertinent to what so many people are going through on the planet right now. Of course, with the lockdown, pandemic, social unrest, there's so many things that are impacting people's ability to feel safe, at ease, confident, grounded, all of these ways of being. And I'll also hear from those very people that maybe they've just lost their jobs or there's the sense of future is really has been shook. And so for those people, the irony is that often they will identify that there's no time to do something like this, like I don't need to build the skill set maybe later when things are more settled, and just the kind of opposite perspective that is. So I'm wondering if you could speak to the importance of people, particularly in this storm that many of us are in at the moment or identify as being in. Why could this be one of the perfect times to pick up understanding the skill set?
I don't know how anyone experiences a storm or this moment in particular without a practice that is a rest practice, deep rest. In order to meet this moment with, I don't know if I want to say ease, but presence, you know, presence leaves it open that you could be suffering right now very much and may not feel a lot of ease. But if you can meet the moment with presence, that is an anchor that allows us to wake up every day and know that there's a midwife with us. We're not alone in this, right? This is the problem. We feel so alone in our world. That's been taught to us for generations. Our mothers often felt alone. Their mothers felt alone. I mean, this is not unusual. So this theme of the moment where we have so much that we have to meet literally on a daily basis. Like one day feels like a year right now. You know?
Well said, yeah.
Yeah, how exhausting is that? So I would say, and again, my kids are now 19 and 21, but when they were growing up, I would literally, the and I didn't for the first 3 to 4 years, but once I found Yoga Nidra, I literally made the time. And I had to hit rock bottom too. I usually have to, my face has to like literally hit the cement 10 times before I wake up and say rest. You know?
Yep.
So I get it. I get it. I mean, I get it because I always want to take the quote shortcuts, but the a regular commitment to deep rest. And that could mean, honestly, when my kids were young, that could mean 3 minutes of breath work.
Great call out. Thank you for saying that too. Okay. So many people think of it as this lofty, all right, my life's not there yet, but you're making it the great argument that no matter where you're at, we can all fit in 3 minutes and augment from there.
Yeah, at Daring to Rest, you know, we certainly practice Yoga Nidra. That is, I guess, the main menu. But there's always, we have an online membership program where every month there's a short rest practice. And we usually use it to warm up with Yoga Nidra. This month it's self-holding. What if you went to bed at night and or woke up in the morning just holding yourself tenderly and taking a few breaths? Literally 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening, women are already telling me it just makes a difference. And that those are short ways we can incorporate rest. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be this whole, you don't have to have a bolster and a this and a that and the, you know, literally just start with a short practice. We have a 61-point body rotation I do every Friday with women actually for free in a Facebook group. And it's really, once you learn, and I do the 61 points every single week, again and again and again. I call it the Yoga Nidra of counting sheep because it's like literally these 61 points, you do that. And often by the time you get to the 61st point, you're asleep. And it's about a continuous commitment, you know, a regular commitment. And usually we can't do that on our own. That's why I did create community, because it's hard to do it on your own, but it's not impossible to do on your own. And I actually did do it on my own, and I created community because I wished I had a community, you know?
Yeah, very relatable.
Yeah, of rest positive people, because we're in a culture that shames us for rest. In a culture that tells us rest is weak, it's not productive, you know, all of these things. But if we demand the space for rest, and demand is maybe an aggressive word, but I would say you have to claim the space. You have to put it, if you go to the physical therapist, you put it in your calendar. I would put rest in your calendar too. Mm.
Wow. No, that's so fantastic to have the advocates for rest, which it could use its own lobbying agency. No, that's really, really wonderful. And I think that's actually a great place to start, because you have created something so remarkable with your community to really parse out some of those offerings, because I know that there's a lot there. We go to your website and there's tons of ways to tap into this. You know, I know you have a lot of different things available at various price points, so it really feels like there's something for everyone. So I'm wondering if we could parse out some of those so that people could really get started right away.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just on a free level, you know, I do every Friday, I do a Yes to Rest Friday, 15 minutes of the 61-point body rotation. And it's in a Facebook group that I guess we can put a link to here.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yoga Nidra Naps for Women, Daring to Rest Yoga Nidra Naps for Women. So that's women joined from all over the world there. I wrote a book called Daring to Rest, Reclaim Your Power with Yoga Nidra Rest Meditation. It is written as a 40-day program. So there are women, I just had a message on Instagram from a woman in Madagascar who just completed the 40-day program and on her own. And, you know, so all you have to do is buy the book. It comes with a link to 3 Yoga Nidra meditations that I recorded. And you can get it from your library. You don't even have to buy the book. Ask your library to carry it in the United States. So you can get, you can do that. For people who want more guidance and want my guidance in particular, we have a community called NAP. It's a membership community of women around the world who, there's about 200 women in it at the moment who all, we practice Yoga Nidra meditation regularly. So they get Yoga Nidras every month. There's a place to have a Q&A with me. And then I sometimes teach a 40-day program. I happen to be teaching one soon, but I sometimes teach it. This time it's on rest and social justice. It's both are, because honestly, a lot of people are feeling like they can't, they're exhausted from it all and they don't know, can't find their voice. And we need people to be navigating this, and we're doing it under the umbrella of rest. So there's so many different ways. And then for people who want to train and actually learn yoga nidra meditation, we have a yoga nidra teacher training immersion program. It's all online. Daring to Rest World is all online. For a while ago, I mean, I have taught things live, but more and more, it's just people are going online and there's ways of connecting with community all over the world. So we focus on women in the Daring to Rest headquarters, so to speak, but a lot of our facilitators teach men, women, children, and there's lists of the facilitators on our website as well. So find a facilitator near you. They do a lot of live things as well.
Oh, that's great to hear too, because that was going to be one of my other questions for the men that come to sleep as a skill and will have real difficulty with that ability to the art of doing nothing, that turning off. So I think that's great to know that that's an option for them as well. But also I love that you have made this community specifically for women and of course with sleep and the many different stages that women are navigating and differences in their hormones at different points of their life cycle of, you know, all the different places that they'll be navigating to have kind of a safe place to be a part of and have that community and see what's possible when people are prioritizing rest. That's really powerful. So I'll definitely be sending people your way because this sounds awesome. And then you also have a podcast as well too?
Yes, the Daring to Rest podcast.
Great.
So there's lots of different episodes on everything from your personal rest to, we really talk about, again, this theme of lying down to wake up or rising up rested. And we talk about rest, the many layers of exhaustion that we carry. So there's physical exhaustion, there's emotional, mental exhaustion. And then there's when we stop dreaming in our lives, like dreaming, becoming, and taking embodied action in our lives. We become paralyzed by our other layers of exhaustion that we don't address those. So the podcast goes into lots of different avenues. We talked about menopause the other day and all of that because a lot of women, well, we talked about menstruation, but we're actually having a menopause episode in the fall. And again, that's when women stop sleeping, right?
Yes.
They have
absolutely
a lot of sleep issues. Like it's serious. And honestly, if you're in menopause, if you're a menstruating woman,
yeah,
particularly around your menstruation, you should be resting. The body is calling out for rest. Literally.
Yes.
That's why I think women feel they're going crazy because we have to fight against that because our culture tells us, oh, if you take a day off, it's weak, or if you, slow down, we should be demanding that space because, and that's not to say we still have to work. We still have to go out into the workplace. I'm talking about make it 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening. You know, there are ways of doing it where you don't have to make it where you stop working because reality is we have to meet our basic needs.
Oh, absolutely. No, I love what you're speaking to because, and I was one of those people that was trying to get great health by almost, you know, biohacking in a very alpha way, you know, so looking to how to, you know, maximize my productivity and, you know, different bulletproof coffee and, you know, intermittent fasting and all of these stressors to the body, which at appropriate times can have their place, but the tapping into this understanding and more nuanced relationship for women to understand different parts of their cycle, where they're at, depending on the different seasons of their life, it can be so huge and life-changing to really prioritize that and just make everything more smooth sailing when we understand different parts of our cycle and to lean into that and that there's nothing wrong. And actually, it's a lot of wisdom coming from there.
Yeah, one of the episodes in the Daring to Rest podcast, we talk about that with the founders of the Red School, and they talk about the inner winter. That's deep rest. That's, you know, in our bodies, women's cycles, you know, the cycle of the day is not set up for women because women aren't, that's not their cycle. So actually, women, we need to know our cycle and we need to honor our cycle and when we need to rest and when we don't. Knowing that there's life is life. But all of these biohacks, as you're mentioning, because I totally get it.
Yes.
I totally get it myself too. Oh my gosh, if I could get around, like, to me, this is the thing. There's a lot of these biohack kind of things, but I just want to tell people, like, just rest.
Yeah, that will take care of a big old chunk of it. Yep, absolutely.
That will take, and for some people, that will take care of all of it.
All of it.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, well, I have had women with chronic conditions we have a lot of women in our community, not all, but, you know, women who are chronic fatigue, just any kind of autoimmune issues.
Yeah.
The moment they get rest, they stop going to their doctors because
yeah.
all we need is rest. I mean, at least, here's the thing, at least try it as a remedy because it can't hurt you.
Right.
It can only help. And we often are grabby. We're very grabby. And I'm even talking about supplements. And I'm not, yeah. you know, I take supplements. I take some supplements. But, you know, I wanted supplements to cure my this, cure that, cure that. And including sleep, right? Oh, I'm going to take some magnesium. I'm going to take... No, but if you're watching television right before you're going to sleep, and if your day is cuckoo nutty... and you don't have wind down time and you haven't even noticed that the moon is now out and actually it went from light to dark, which is a great way to actually regulate your system to go to sleep, is turn out the lights in your house and let the house go into at dusk. Just notice these things. So once we notice the rhythms of life, rest and rhythm are like cousins, you know, or sisters.
Sure.
And resonance. This is something Dr. Ruben Nyman talks about in his book, Healing Night. Critical book to be reading too. Healing Night. We have a very tumultuous relationship with night.
Yes. Oh, I love that you mentioned that too, because that can be part and parcel for many people to a place to begin to actually lean into the night, lean into the darkness, lean into that, the very place where melatonin is really created. It's really crucial. I'm glad that you mentioned that. And then, okay, so reframing this relationship can be so powerful. And I think you're making so many wonderful points here. So for people to make sure that they, instead of that they're, I want to make sure that they hear that this is possible. Okay, I can, no matter what, I can start with even just a couple minutes. It doesn't matter what level of stuff that we got going on, we can always begin. And that really just created this awesome community. So there's something really for everyone. Is there any timeline with, like I know on your website that there's certain enrollment periods. So depending on when they come in, they just should hop on the wait list to make sure that they're a part of some of your offerings?
Yeah, I would say our wait list is that we have an interest list for, our membership doesn't stay open all the time. We close membership and usually about 4 times a year, we'll open the membership up.
Great.
So, if you're on the interest list, you're going to get that information.
Very cool. Okay. And I know I had signed up for your newsletter when we were communicating before and setting this up. So I've been, your different emails. So I've gotten lots of great information from there. So no matter what, make sure you hop on the newsletter. And the reason I'm so adamant for people about beginning these steps and actually like make sure that you're in this conversation is because it can fall into that domain for many people. This is a nice idea. And then they don't take action. So if you're listening to this, there's really something available with what you're offering. And I'll make sure to link to all of this as far as well as the Facebook group and the free offerings that you do on Fridays. All of that sounds wonderful. Wow. Well, thank you so, so much for taking the time to really just drop such a refreshing awareness and understanding and wisdom around this really important topic of rest and prioritizing that and learning. I'm very big on this whole concept of skill sets. And so, of course, I'm an advocate that sleep is a skill. And I think part of that is learning to rest, learning to let go, learning to surrender, learning to accept, lean into the night. All of these things are really, really life-changing if we take this on. So thank you so much for sharing all of this.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Sleep is a Skill podcast, the number one podcast for people who want to take their sleep skills to the next level. Every Monday, I send out something that I call Molly's Monday Obsessions, containing everything that I'm obsessing over in the world of sleep. Head on over to sleepisaskill.com to sign up.